Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the second, and unfortunately, the last session. As I was looking through my notes this evening, I was realizing I could speak at least two more days on what information I have available here. But time doesn't allow it, and schedules don't. So I was thinking I could maybe do it again next week and see how it works. I don't know if it's possible, but it's possible. It might be. So yesterday we heard about the importance of the holy name from different angles of vision, from different scriptures, from different acharyas, and we also discussed a little bit about, you know, some practical aspects of chanting. Tonight I'm going to begin by reading Sri Rupa Goswami's Sri Namastika, Sri Krishna Namastika. It's eight prayers in glorification of the holy name. These are beautiful prayers, especially the first one. The first prayer is recited many times throughout the scriptures. And then what I'm going to try to do today is speak some practical things, because what I think is important and what I really wanted to lead up was how to improve your own japa. This is important, I feel that. And that may warrant skipping over a few things to get to that, but we'll see what happens. This is Sri Namastika, verse number 1. O Sri Harinam, the entire galaxy of Upanishads, which are like a necklace of most precious gems, are serving the toenails of your lotus feet with their brilliance. In such a way, the Vedic scriptures are constantly glorifying your lotus feet. Great yogis, sages, and liberated transcendentalists are always engaged in worshipping you. Therefore, I fully surrender you and humbly pray for your shelter. That's the first verse of Sri Namastika. It says here, not only do the sages worship the Harinam, the holy name, but they also constantly chant Krishna's name because he appeared to please everyone in the material world. Thus, besides relieving one of sinful reactions, chanting the holy name also gives the supreme pleasure. O illuminating sun of Krishna's name, if any person by his chanting can even obtain a mere shadow of your splendor, then you dissipate the gloom of nescience that drags one into the darkness of the material world. You reward even the blind fools who are bereft of any spiritual knowledge with the vision that enables them to take up devotional service. Therefore, O Sri Harinam, who in this world is able to properly describe your glories? So here we see how even one somehow takes up the chanting of the holy name. Maybe just because of curiosity or just because of accident. All of a sudden, their life becomes transformed and they actually will become inspired to serve the Lord. Even one who has no intention, if they somehow or other take it up, they somehow or other they actually become attracted to serving Krishna. This is a small fraction of the glories of the holy name. Verse number 3. I'm sorry, that was verse 3. I skipped 2. 2. O Sri Harinam, who is chanted by all sages, for the pleasure of the living entities, you have assumed the form of the supreme transcendental syllables. If a person chants your name even once, even derisively, 2. Even then, you completely destroy the monstrous mountain of sinful reactions. Therefore, O holy name, all glories unto you. It might be argued that hardly anyone is able to chant purely enough so that the holy name manifests in full splendor. But Srila Rupa Goswami does not agree. Even a glimmer of the holy This is verse number 4. The Vedas say a person may obtain the direct perception of the Brahman effulgence by steadfast, sincere, and long-lasting continuous meditation. However, he will not be able to completely eradicate the results of his Prarabdha Karma, that is, reactions of his fruitive activities which have already begun to fructify. They have to be experienced by material enjoyments or suffering. Yet, as soon as a small particle of your merciful glare starts to reveal its effect, the entire constellation of the Prarabdha Karma is annihilated. There's a kind of karma called Prarabdha Karma, which is those karma which you must work your way through. You must get the results of your sinful and pious activities in order to somehow or other free yourself from these reactions and go to a higher stage. In other words, there are certain karmas that are happening right now. This is Prarabdha Karma, immediate karma, stuff that is manifesting now. But here it says that even by a small particle of the merciful glare of the holy name, it destroys the whole constellation of Prarabdha Karma. So this is the glory. This is just some more of the glories of the holy name. If we had to experience our karma in full force, it would be very difficult. And for some persons, impossible to practice spiritual life, because getting the reactions means a strong diversion towards, away from, practicing spiritual life. So this, the name is so merciful that not only it destroys its stock of karma that is in, what we say, in seed form, in developing form, but in fructifying form too. Because karma is in four stages: seed, fructifying, about to happen, and happening. It's like you plant a seed, and then that's one aspect of the plant. And it grows, that's another aspect. And then it gets to almost full bloom, that's another aspect. And finally it gets to perfection. So Prarabdha Karma is that karma that is happening immediately. That's what you're getting now. And it may have been something that happened many, many lifetimes ago, or maybe something that's happening from this life. And that karma is being destroyed by the holy name. So even past, not even manifested karma is being destroyed. This is it. Because if we had to suffer or enjoy our karma, it's very hard, practically impossible to focus carefully on practicing Krishna consciousness, because it becomes a distraction, a diversion, a burden. It's a burden. And we don't know what our karma is, because karma is accumulated for countless lifetimes. As many births as there are in species of life, we've also had. So of course the lower species don't accumulate karma, but as soon as we hit the human form of life, then our karma starts to build. Okay, number 5. O Sri Harinam, you manifest in many forms, like Agha Dhamma, the subduer of the Agadima, Yasoda Nandana, the son of Yasoda, Nandasuna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Kamalaya Nayana, the lotus-eyed one, Gopi Chandra, the moon of the gopis, Vrindavanendra, the lord of Vrindavan, Pranatakaruna, the compassionate master of the surrendered souls, and Krishna, O holy name, let my attachment for you increase more and more. So the holy name manifests in different forms as Krishna, in different ways. These are different names of Krishna. So what he's saying, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes in the name, but he also comes in his forms. And the form is actually no different than the name. The form of Krishna is an embodiment of the name. And the name of Krishna contains the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. As we chant the holy names of the Lord, what is happening is gradually we're awakening to Krishna as His name. And as that matures and develops, one actually enters into understanding that Krishna is non-different in His name. When that reaches a perfectional stage of chanting, then one understands that Krishna is non-different than His form, or the name is non-different than the form. And then higher than that is Krishna's qualities become revealed through the name. And then finally, in the highest of all aspects of chanting, is one enters into Krishna's pastimes. One enters into Krishna. In other words, one actually becomes absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. Just like we hear about the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They wrote many books about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. But how is it possible they were writing these down? Why? Because they were seeing the pastimes, it wasn't just some philosophical imagination. They were actually seeing the pastime in their meditation of devotion through chanting. Krishna, it was like a television set. They were watching Krishna's transcendental pastimes. It's like this is the perfection of meditation. And in that state, they were actually revealing these leelas on paper as they were experiencing in their mind and in their heart. So that's the highest stage. But it starts with, you know, just beginning to chant, just gradually chanting. So Krishna's forms and Krishna's name are the same. Number 6. O holy name, you appear in two forms. Vacham, the deity form of the Supreme Lord, and Vachakam, your transcendental names. Of these two, we consider the form of the holy name, holy syllables to be infinitely more compassionate than the form of the deity. Because if a person having taken shelter of the deity form commits offenses, the only recourse he has is to become the servant of the holy name and chant incessantly Krishna, Govinda, etc. But by your innumerable transcendental potency, all his offenses disappear and he experiences uninterrupted joy, submerged in the ocean of ecstasy. In other words, one performs worship of the Lord in the form of the deity, one can commit offenses. And offenses actually block our spiritual advancement. So therefore, to rid oneself of offenses, one must take shelter of Krishna's name. So out of the two forms, the deity and the name is more merciful. Because the name also purifies one and frees one from all offenses. Number 7, we're reading Sri Krishna Namastika. O holy name, you destroy the entirety of the sufferings of your surrendered devotees. You are eternally manifest in the transcendental form of intensified bliss. To the residents of Gokul, you are the source of unending festival of joy and divine pleasure. You are always saturated in your magnificent glory and sweetness. I offer my repeated obeisances unto your lotus feet. So Rupa Goswami is praying for the supreme benediction, and that is that the holy name may appear in a pure form by dancing on the tongue of the chanter. Prabhupada used to say that when you're chanting, the holy name Krishna is dancing on your tongue. So it sounds like a very simple and maybe kind of, you know, less than philosophical statement, but actually it's true. When one is actually chanting, the Lord, the holy name manifests on the tongue of the devotee. And the last of the Namastikas, number 8, O Krishna's name, you are the life force of Sri Narada's Veena. And you are constantly increasing the sweetness of the delightful waves in the ocean of nectar. Out of your causeless mercy, kindly appear on my tongue and incessantly and bestow upon me unalloyed affection to the Lord. So here, Narada Muni, he travels throughout the world and he sings on his Veena. Narada Muni Bhajai Veena Radhika Ramana Namre. He sings the glories of Radhika Ramana and he plays on his Veena. And he's chanting, but he's also singing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He sings the glories of the Lord, especially chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So in this last verse, as explained that, where is it here? You are the life force of Narada's Veena. You give life to the Veena. As soon as any instrument starts playing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it comes alive. Even the instruments become personalities. They come alive in Krishna's name. Because Krishna's name makes even the inanimate objects dance. So these are the eight verses spoken by Srila Rupa Goswami known as Sri Namastaka. Sri Krishna Namastaka. Okay. So chanting of the holy name actually means purification of the heart. And purification of the heart means ridding oneself of material desires. So what is it? So there are different types of material desires, and they fall into different categories. And I'll read some things that are what is considered. These are called blockages. There's three types of things that block our relationship with Krishna through the holy name. These are called anarthas. One is thirst for material objects. The second one is miserliness of the heart. And the last thing is offenses. So, three categories. Thirst for material enjoyment. What does thirst for material objects mean? That means one is looking to material objects in this world for satisfaction and pleasure. One focuses on that. That is a block in our spiritual practice. The holy name is meant to diminish the effects of that anartha. The second thing is the desire to gain the heavenly planets, to reach the heavenly world. This is, in my next life, let me go to, Brahmaloka or Swargaloka. Let me enjoy, Somarasa. Let me be one of the demigods or demigoddesses and have long life, beautiful body, a lot of sense gratification. This is also a block in the purification of the heart. The holy name destroys that desire by giving a higher taste. One loses their attraction for the heavenly planets. The desire for mystic power. The yogis, they want mystic power. They want to be able to manipulate the material energy in such a way as to control it for their own sense gratification. So we see in the Western countries, people are attached to very paltry forms of sense gratification, such as drinking and sex and material possessions. When you go to spiritual realms, you find that people who are coming from India, many yogis, they're attached to more subtle forms of material desires, such as mystic power, to become lighter than the lightest, to become to control people's minds through speech, to be able to create something from their hands. There's one yogi in South India, he can produce something from his hand, gold or ashes or rasgullas or something. He can do that. It's called Prapti Siddhi. It's a power. You meditate on an object somewhere, and by your mental power, you can bring that object to where you are. Prabhupada talks about that when he was a young boy. His father would host sadhus at his house. This was in, the early 1900s in India, in Calcutta. So many times a sadhu would come and he'd stay. So one sadhu was there one time and he said to Prabhupada's father, "Just ask me for anything and I will get it for you." So Prabhupada's father said, then bring me some pomegranates from Karu. So the yogi said, okay, go into the next room. And he went, Prabhupada's father went to the next room, and laying on the table was a freshly branched pomegranates, a branch full of pomegranates. It manifested there. So yogis can do that. They have such powers. But that is also material desire, it's mystic power. There's so many. You see in America, in some Western countries, you have these great musicians, magicians. You lock them in a box. You tie the box with chains. You throw the box in the ocean, and they get out. Right? There was one Houdini. He was famous for that. It's a mystic power. They know how to get out of these things. Right? Sounds fantastic. But it's also a material desire to be able to manipulate the material energy. If you know the science, it's easy. Just like if you know the science of computers, you can do anything. But a neophyte on the computer thinks, wow, that person's really intelligent. But he's learned the science. But the same way the yogis, they know how to manipulate the material energy through meditation. So it's an art. But that's a block in one's spiritual practice because it's a material desire. And the last one of the categories of thirst for material objects is liberation into Brahman, to become free from material suffering, to attain Brahman effulgence. That's also a block. So these are the four categories of thirst for material objects. Miserliness of the heart. This is a more subtle form of selfishness. Attachment to trifling things unrelated to Krishna. Attachment to trifling things unrelated to Krishna. Being deceitful, envious of someone else's progress, and longing for position and fame. So this is a type of disease of the heart. Wanting to become famous, wanting envy of others, deceitfulness, attachment to trifling things. This is called miserliness of the heart. One has to remove those things through the chanting of the holy name. And the last category is offenses. There's offenses to the name, offenses to the deity, offenses in devotional service, offenses to the devotees, offenses to the holy Dham. These are the different categories of offenses. As mentioned in the scriptures, one should learn the offenses and avoid them. So these are the three things that the holy name destroys. It destroys thirst for material objects, miserliness of the heart, and offenses. And these are the blockages in our spiritual progress. As long as we have these things, they block our relationship with Krishna. But the holy name is powerful. It can destroy these. The holy name is so powerful that even accidentally chanting the holy name, one can actually achieve namabhas. In the scriptures is a story of Ajamyo, namabhas. Namabhas means reflection of the holy name. Not the complete pure effect of the holy name, but a reflection of the glories of the holy name. I'll give you an example. Ajamyo. Ajamyo was a Brahmin, and he was a very Pakka Brahmin, and he grew up in a very religious family. One day he was out walking and he saw something quite unusual at that time. A Sudra and a Sudrani were embracing in public. He became attracted by the scene, and actually later on sought out that Sudrani, who was a prostitute, of course. He married her, gave up his brahminical activities, and simply became subservient to the demands of the prostitute. Committed sinful activities in order to support his prostitute wife, and gave up all his practice. He lived on. Finally, when he was 86 years old, he had his last child. He had a child at the age of 86. That child he named was Narayan. Because in India, people name their children sometimes by names of God. So he named his last child Narayan. And being old, he was very much attached to his child. So he would say, Narayan, bring my shoes. Narayan, come here. Narayan this, Narayan that. So he was chanting the name of God, although he was calling his son. So one day, death came along. And as death was coming along, the agents of Yamaraj, who take away the sinful, was bringing him to Yamaloka to be punished. These are very fierce, powerful servants of Yamaraj who take the soul and the subtle body and bring it to the lower realms for punishment for those who are sinful. But when he saw the Yamadutas, he called out Narayan. And he was calling for his son. But when he called the name of Narayan, he remembered Narayan, the personality of Godhead, somehow by that call. And at that time, the Vishnu Dutas, the agents of Lord Vishnu, came and stopped the Yamadutas from taking the soul of Ajamil. And there's the story is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how they had a discussion on who does Narayan Ajamil's song belong to. Jai Sisi Kishar Kishari Kijai. And finally, the Vishnu Duta said he chanted the name of God at the time of death. So he was freed from all his sinful reactions. But he didn't get pure love of God because he chanted accidentally. This is called Sanketa. There's four types of chanting. One is called Sanketa. One is called Parihasa. Parihasa. One is called Stoba, and one is called Hela. Sanketa means to chant the holy name accidentally, not knowing it's the holy name. Parihasa is to chant it in a joking mood. Ha ha, these Hare Krishnas, ha ha ha, yeah, making fun, ha ha. They get a benefit, they chant the Hare Krishna. Yes, it's like that. They don't realize they're actually getting. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada's guru, when he would receive an article in the newspapers about the Hare Krishnas, he would consider the article good based on how many times they chanted the name Krishna in the article. Not whether what they said, whether the article was favorable or not, he didn't care. As he counted how many times. Oh, they chanted 5 times. This is very good. No matter what the article was. So this is the power of Krishna's name. Shishupal, Jarasandra, he was a demon. He chanted jokingly, "Aha, Krishna, who do you think you are?" And then Shishupal, he chanted in a very derisive way. He derided Krishna, but he chanted Krishna's name. That is called Stoba. And Hela means disregard. There's a story of one Muslim. There's one Muslim, he was being chased by a boar, a male pig, ferocious. And the boar was after him. And so he was being gored by this pig, and he was calling out, "Haram, haram, haram." Now, haram means abominable. It's not a nice word. But he was saying ha, which is the first part of Hare, and Ram. So he was getting the benefit of chanting Hare Ram. Haram, haram. So he actually got some mercy from that. He actually says he got liberation. Because he chanted from the heart. So this is the power of the holy name. This is the power. This is called chanting with disregard. Chanting accidentally, chanting jokingly, chanting derisively. These are all, there's one verse that's mentioned in the relationship to this story of Ajamil. These four things are described. So that's the power of the holy name. But one should chant it consciously with devotion, and then, and of course, with attention. And that is the real benefit of the holy name. We chant with attention. In chanting, I'll go into something practical because we only have about 25 minutes left. And there's so much I would like to speak about. There's so many nice stories of the holy name. One should practice chanting with three things in mind when you chant your japa. One should, we call it the three P's. Three P's. The first one is posture. Posture. Sitting properly. Sitting properly is very, very essential to attentive japa. Let me see if I can read something here. Okay. Yoga shastras proclaim that sitting straight facilitates concentration. Right posture makes the mind calm. For purification of the body and for success in yoga, posture is absolutely necessary. By the practice of good posture, the body becomes disease-free, firm, and efficient. So these are some statements from different shastras on the importance of right posture. So one should sit up, keeping the spine straight, because straight spine means that the energy of the body is flowing without obstruction, and that increases concentration. If you see a picture of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he's always like this. Straight, head very erect. It may seem uncomfortable in the beginning, but after you practice it, it actually becomes quite natural. You know, and we have a tendency to slouch. My mother used to always say to me, "Your posture is lousy. Sit up straight." And she was right, too. She was right. And I couldn't understand it until I came to Krishna consciousness. So strange. So it helps to. So the first thing is posture. The second thing is pronunciation. Chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Rama. That's not the idea. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Because if you slur the mantra like that, it's very hard to keep what we say concentration. The mind becomes concentrated or more fixed on the sound vibration when it's pronounced clearly. Now, Krishna knows what you're saying, but still, you should say the name right. It's like if your name is, I don't know, whatever your name is, if somebody calls you and you know you're calling and they're calling you, even if they say the name wrong, you still respond. So Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardana. He accepts what your intentions are, but still, and he takes the best of whatever you're doing. That's his mercy, but still we should practice proper pronunciation. Devotee's joke. There's a joke. That's the one devotee, he's chanting. I think it's sticky, 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 boom, 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 sticky, 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 boom, 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 sticky, 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 boom, 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 boom. If you listen closely to some devotees, it sounds just like that. So there's one man, he's standing like this, and then he dies. He dies, and he wakes up when he's in this land, and he looks around, and he sees these two men. He says, "Who are you?" The man says, "I'm Snicker, and this is Room. You've been chanting our name." So you have to be careful what you're chanting. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, whenever you meditate on, you go. So there's a little bit of a humorous antidote, but it has some truth to it. We should chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And if you listen to Srila Prabhupada's japa tape, when he begins the chanting, he starts off very slowly and very methodically. And what that means is that you start off that way until the mind catches the sound. You very carefully concentrate on the sound. And as the mind catches the sound, the speed will naturally increase. Because concentration increases speed. You'll find that's natural. You don't have to try to chant faster or chant at a certain speed. Just try to hear. So in order to hear, at the beginning we start off slowly and methodically, like that. Okay, so that's pronunciation, and the last P is prayer. One should chant in a prayerful mood. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a calling. We're calling Krishna, hey Govinda, hey Ram. Please pick me up from this ocean of death. Ani nanda tanuja kinkaram. Patitamam vishame bhavam buddho. Kripaya tavapara pankajasti taduli sadisham vichintaya. This is the fifth verse from the Shikshastika prayer. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servant. Somehow or other I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So a devotee is begging for the mercy of the Lord. Please pick me up and place me and engage me in your devotional service. So this is the prayer of the mantra. We're praying for the Lord's mercy. We're praying in order to be able to absorb ourselves in the sound of Krishna's name. So there are actually recommended prayers that we can actually say before we chant or even while we chant that will enhance our devotional mood while we're chanting. For instance, in our temples, every morning we recite the Shikshastika prayers, the 8 verses to the spoken by Lord Chaitanya. How many of you don't know the Shikshastika prayers? How many don't know? You don't know? I'll give you a copy. I think I have an extra copy of this. These are the Shikshastika. Actually, this is only the English. The Shikshastika prayers are mentioned in our songbooks. It's better to read them in the Sanskrit because the Sanskrit is very powerful. Where can we find them listed? It's in the songbook, right? And where else? Any other place? These ladies don't have. Maybe you can give them? Oh, yeah. You have the Shikshastika prayers. You have more copies? We have some here, so we can give you. If you recite these Shikshastika prayers every day before you begin your chanting, you will actually increase the quality of your chanting. Because the Shikshastika prayers are the embodiment of the holy name. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra connects to each of the prayers. The first prayer is Hare Krishna. The second prayer is Hare Krishna. The third prayer is Krishna Krishna. The fourth prayer is Hare Hare. The fifth prayer is Hare Rama. The sixth, Hare Rama. The seventh, Rama Rama. The eighth is Hare Hare. So the Shikshastika prayers and the holy name are none different. Actually, and Lord Chaitanya has shown that by example, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written about that in his explanation of the Shikshastika, that there's no difference between the holy name and these prayers. And these prayers are the embodiment of pure devotional service. If we learn these prayers and recite these prayers daily, guarantee the quality of your chanting will improve. Yeah, these are beautiful. Also, if you have a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the last chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila chapter 20, is the chapter entitled Shikshastika Prayers. So that's also there. So this is another way to enchant, increase our chanting. I would like to give you my little test here, but I don't know if we have time to do the test. But I'll mention a few more basic things in order to help increase the quality of your chanting. The night before, these are some 8 rules for better japa. The night before, give up eating rice and heavy foods at night. Take simple foods such as milk and fruit. By eating a light meal, you will sleep more soundly, rise early without difficulty, and have full energy for attentive japa the next morning. The night before, make a firm vow. Tomorrow morning, I will chant with full concentration and sincere feelings. So by eating heavy at night, it really blocks our ability to chant nicely the next day, because we don't really digest well in the evenings, because the fire digestion is decreased as the sun goes down. So it's recommended to, if one wants to eat at night, better eat very light, as light as possible. And here, rice is generally not recommended to eat at night, because it's a little too heavy at night. Upon waking, take a full bath and at least wash your mouth, face, and hands with cold water before chanting. If you feel sleepy or dull-headed, a kirtan with cartels will immediately invigorate the mind and purify the environment. So if you feel a little groggy, you can do a little chanting with kirtan and it helps you wake up. Chant early in the morning, and it's recommended to chant with someone else. Chant in front of Tulsi Devi. This is the best. Tulsi Devi enhances the quality of our chanting just by her presence. Lord Chaitanya always chanted his rounds in front of Tulsi. All the time. Even when he was walking, he would have a devotee carry a Tulsi plant in front of him. And he would chant his japa while walking with a Tulsi in front of him. That's how much Lord Chaitanya absorbed himself in chanting with Tulsi. And Tulsi enhances the glories of chanting like that. You can sit before a deity also, if you have deities, or Tulsi Devi, a spiritual master, or in some cases when they're not available, a picture of the Lord like that. Or one other thing you can do is that if your mind is too restless, you can read the Maha Mantra. You can have the mantra here. One can chant by simply reading the mantra, and then until the mind gets connected with the chanting like that. So that helps. The idea is to increase concentration, increase devotion. Concentration is the main thing, because this is japa meditation. We're meditating on Krishna's name. So it's a meditation. This may be hard, but chant as much as you can without interruption. Chant one round and get up, do something, chant two rounds and do something. It's really hard to become concentrated. Better to sit down and chant as much as you can. The more you chant, the more the quality of your chanting comes, and the more easier it is to absorb yourself in the sound of Krishna's name. One devotee asks Srila Prabhupada, what would please you, Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds of japa in one sitting without interruption. So that may be hard, but if you practice, you can actually do it after some time. Okay. Collect one's thoughts and concentrate on the sound. Bring the mind into the sound. If the mind wanders, pull it back. If it wanders, pull it back. Sometimes we start thinking about things You know, what am I going to do today? What did I do yesterday? And these things distract us from our chanting. If they become too strong, you can have a little pencil and paper there. If you get in, if something comes in your mind, you can write it down. Forget it. And after you're done, you can pick it up. Not that we make a program of that, but in some cases, it's good to eliminate a thought by writing it down and then pushing it off, and then again focusing on our japa like that. Chant with feeling, chant with attention. Now, if it's really hard to concentrate, you can do pranayama. There's one pranayama exercise that helps you to concentrate. It's called the bumblebee. I can show you the bumblebee. Would you like to see it? Okay. Now, this is an emergency, but it works. The bumblebee is, you take these two fingers and your thumb, you put the two fingers over your eyes and the thumb in your ear, like this. Okay? And then you make a sound like a bee. And then you concentrate on that sound. And I'll do it. You meditate on that sound. That absorbs your thoughts in that sound. And then your mind becomes, you're slowing your mind down. And that's one way to help bring about concentration. It's called the bumblebee. It's a pranayama exercise. It works. It works. And there's another way. If you're at your home, you can light a candle. Look into a candle. And by gazing into a candle, your concentration focuses too, like this. So these things help to focus the mind, and then you can chant like that. So these are little techniques. But chanting actually is a devotional exercise, but the mechanics inspire us and help us to improve our attention. And that's the important thing, that we want to chant with attention. Because attention is actually the key to chanting. Chanting with attention and devotion. Okay? So these are some simple techniques. We only have 5 minutes, so RT. And there's so much more here. There's some beautiful stories about the Holy Name, too. But what I'll do, if you'd like, I'm going out of town tomorrow, and I'm back on Friday. We could do a program on Friday night. If you'd like, I could do another session on the Holy Name. And I'd like to do the workshop. So for those of you who are here, we can schedule a program for Friday night. I'd be happy to do another one. Okay, any questions? Comments? With the middle finger? Well, this finger is a no-no. This is not a good finger, because you use it. It's an offensive finger. So they take that finger and you push it outside, the bead bag. And it's really hard to chant with this finger. So this is the recommended one, and the thumb. It's a good way to grasp the beads. Don't use this finger. This finger is a bad guy. Okay? But chanting means devotion. That's the key. The more you put devotion in it, the more Krishna reciprocates. Techniques may enhance concentration, but the key is devotion. The key is to chant from your heart, chant with feeling. Chanting is a prayer. My dear Lord, I'm fallen. Please pick me up by the mercy of your name. It's a sincere prayer of the heart. It's harder to concentrate. See, the beats help concentration because Chanting means the tongue and the ear. So two of the senses. And you use the touch, that's the third sense. So when you add another sense, then concentration becomes more. So when you actually feel the beads, that enhances your ability to concentrate. And it also helps you to count. This is important. Jai Sisi, Kishore Kishori Gita. So the glories of the holy name are as unlimited as Krishna himself. Chant, chant, chant. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Gita.